We come to Jesus just as we are, but we don't stay that way. We become more like Jesus. And this week, I was reading a book by Chris Vallotton called Developing a Supernatural Lifestyle, A Practical Guide of Signs and Wonders and Miracles. It's been a pretty awesome book. And I just wanted to read you guys a quote in that book as we're talking about us being under construction and growing and giving you kind of the reason why it's important. It's not just for us to have a good life. That's just kind of a byproduct. So in his book, Chris says, this is short. Don't worry. It's not a 10-page thing I'm going to read, although maybe someday. We are in the midst of the greatest revival in human history, yet there remains a distance between what should be and what will be. I mean, we would come into agreement with that. The Lord's moving all over the earth, but we're not seeing the greater things. You know, we're seeing God doing things, but we're not seeing every sick person we pray for healed. And so there's a disconnect between those two things. And Chris goes on to say, you are the bridge. The distance between those two things is you. What will you be? You are the bridge between history and his story. You are the sons of the prophets, the sick, the demonized, the poor. You're not the sick, the demonized, the poor. There was a period. The sick, the demonized, the poor, the blind, and the lame are lost and waiting to see what you have learned. And so kind of putting a little bit of responsibility on us as we're renovating our minds, we're changing our mindsets and renovating our lives. The reason really is so we can walk out and bring other people to the Lord. And so we've been in Romans 12:2. You guys remember this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember, we were saying mind renovation, life transformation. That's mind renovation, life transformation. You know, Romans 2:12 that I just read in the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so I wanted to start today. I'm in 1 Corinthians 3, if you brought your Bibles. I'm just going to read verse 9 to start. It says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. The Passion Translation says, you are the house he is building. So God's working on something here, right? Go ahead and put your hand on yourself somewhere. God's working on something here. Give yourself permission to be in progress, in process, and make some progress. God's working on something here. Can we say it? God's working on something here. We're God's house. We're God's building. Anybody ever walk through like a totally wild field? Pick up some ticks, get some cuts on your ankles. You know, it's not really a pleasant experience. You know those dunes next to the ocean that you're not supposed to walk on? You know, I've walked through those. That's like instant mosquito bites in the masses. And so, you know, when we're talking about we're God's field, we want to be, and this sounds a little Thomas the Tank Engine, but we want to be a useful field to the Lord. When we came to the Lord, we were this wild, overgrown, crazy thing, and there should be things happening to prepare that land for what the Lord wants to do. Just an analogy. So picking up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, God's working on something here. Verse 10, Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. So here's the foundation of your life is Jesus, Jesus Christ. It's him. That's the foundation. I'm sure many of us have looked at properties, bought houses, things like that. A lot of times, you know, and maybe those of us that are more familiar or realtors could tell this, people come into the house, they want to see the kitchen, they want to see the bathroom, they want to see the backyard. They don't want to go in the basement and see, excuse me, what's going on downstairs. And that's really a big deal. It doesn't matter how pretty that kitchen is if it sinks into the earth. Am I right? So in our lives, thank you. So who is the foundation? The place of Jesus is your foundation. The place that you give Jesus makes him the foundation. I know Dave talked last week, and it was awesome. It's on the podcast. It's a bootleg, so the recording quality is a little rough, and I'll warn you, there's some coughs at the end that are going to come quite loud. But it's there. The message is there, and it's first we're a Christian. I'm a Christian American, not an American Christian, right? And so for me, and you can insert your own word here, I'm a Christian mailman, not a mailman Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian first and a mailman second. I had a supervisor ask me to lie about something yesterday. I just said no, and now I have to deal with the fallout. I'll edit this out. There's one adult world in my town, and the mailman takes the mail in. I've never gone in. Sometimes they tell me to deliver that street. I put the mail in the video return slot. The man called. He was angry. I just said, I'm not going in. So after probably 6 or 7 times being dragged into the office, I was just like, are you firing me? Well, no, you're great. I'm like, good, then don't give me that piece. So, you know, but first I'm a Christian, then I'm a mailman. And that also works the same way on my job. When I one day, and many of you have heard this story, I was on a route that I never did. I walked up on a porch. There was a family, a dad, a mom, a baby, extended family, lots of people. They were waiting for me to pray for the baby. No idea how this came about. Baby was sick. I prayed for the baby and went on my way. I have no idea what happened. But first I'm a Christian, then I'm a mailman, and I push those boundaries. If I was a mailman Christian, I would say, I'm not supposed to pray right now, whatever. So it's the same thing. When I was a kid, a teenager growing up, there was this band. They were a Christian band. They did Christian music. They got very, very successful in the Christian music scene. Then they decided that they were Christians in a band. Then they decided they were a band, and a couple of them were Christians. And so what happened was they were actually bringing masses of people closer to the Lord through their music and through their lyrics. Then when they went out in the world, people said, hey, this might be good. They might go out into the world and they might bring people closer to their music. But instead what they did was they tried to become successful, and they were bringing people to them and not to the Lord. So, I mean, you can see it. If anyone wants to be Christians in a band with me, I would love to do that, as long as we're trying to bring people to the Lord somehow through what we're doing. And so that priority, where Jesus is Jesus your foundation? Is he a wall? Is he a back room? Is he the attic? Where is Jesus? He has to be the foundation. Everything you do comes from the place of, I'm a Christian first, and then, like, I'm a Christian dad. I'm not a dad that's a Christian. I don't do the dad thing and then quick remember to add God. God's in the dad thing because he's the role model for that. Anyway, all right, so you guys are all on my page there. So wherever we go, we're a follower of Jesus first, a son or daughter of God, a representative of his kingdom. 1 Corinthians, still continuing in chapter 3, I'm going to read this again. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, if anyone builds on this foundation using silver, gold, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And the only reason I read that is you guys have done this. You've made home repairs, and you've cheaped out. You've bought the cheapest thing. I did it recently. The toilet was running. I bought the cheapest one at the Home Depot. 2 weeks later, I was buying the most expensive one at the Home Depot. And I just wished I didn't buy the cheapest one. But I went in. I was like, yeah, $10, $20, $10 should be good. But it didn't do the job. It didn't make the toilet flush properly. So then I went and got the best one. Anyway, so we can't cheap out. When we're talking about, we're building a life with the Lord. We're his house. He's making construction. We can't cheap out. We can't say, hey, a 5-minute thing with God is good. I got 5 minutes between this Netflix show and the other Netflix show I want to watch. Maybe I'll ask the Lord. You know, it's funny because we see people, and I've talked about this before, just totally digesting the news and the media right now, like hours at a time, looking for an answer to what's going on in the earth. Am I getting a stimulus? Are we doing mail-in voting? And is that even, can we even do that? And whatever. And they're just, the media doesn't know, or if they knew, they would tell you and you could stop listening. And then we, hours and hours asking the media what's going on instead of, you know, a little bit of time asking the Lord what's going on for us right now. What do you want to do? Side note, rabbit trail. Got in my car this morning, turned it on, KYW News Radio. 5-10 minutes at a time. I can't handle them longer than that. First thing they reported was that the new postmaster general eliminated overtime at the post office. This is the news. They said it. He eliminated overtime. Last week, I worked 57 hours. The week before, I worked 59. Next week, I'm going to work a lot of overtime. So they're just saying whatever they want. Anyway, all right. Back to this. We can't cheap out when we're talking about building our life. You know, it's like, and I'll say this, and I say this nicely and lovingly. You guys know I love you all, and I don't want to push anybody away. But we got some people, they come here, and they come here once every 5 weeks. You know, we had a guy that helped us move. This guy had told me he'd been at the church like 15 years. He showed up on moving day and helped us move, and we haven't seen him since. But you know what? I'm his pastor. We're his church. But he's going to get what he puts in. You know, if he calls me up, I'll help him out, whatever I can do. And he really, oh, what a blessing on moving day. Yeah. Beast of a man loading things and moving things. But like, yeah, no, nobody knew him, but he's been here forever. Mark knew him. But anyway, Mark knew him, but no one knows, Mark doesn't know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I want to read you guys, getting back on track. You get in what you put out, and that's how it is with any relationship. You guys know if I don't make an effort to communicate with my wife, we will grow apart. You know, if I go to work every day, I grunt at dinner time, and we watch Netflix and go to sleep, we will grow apart. But you know, effort, and you guys know what I'm talking about. So here's a familiar passage I'm going to read. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to do it a little bit out of order, not to change the meaning, but to kind of shake it up because it's so familiar. I want to look at it differently. So I'm going to read you two verses, Matthew 7, verse 27. Sorry if this was raw for anybody in the room. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Back up to verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. All right. Yeah, so rain is coming. Pandemics, social unrest, political stuff, it's been happening. How's it been for you? Did you fall with a great crash? Did you not fall? Was there a little bit of both going on? Sometimes were you falling, and sometimes were you like, I have this foundation of the Lord. And so it's a really interesting thing. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Get there ahead of me. That I've been a little bit of both. I started, germs touch my body and die, and I am that guy. You know, I believe that Jesus paid the price for my health, and that I can show you in Scripture, you know, he bore our sickness and our disease, and I'm going to refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me, and I'm going to lay hands on the sick, and I'm going to see them recover, because that's what the Bible says. And so I started that way, and then I went out, and I had to walk through these neighborhoods of, you know, they're not the cleanest neighborhoods. Nobody's wiping off the mailbox. Nobody's sanitizing their doorknobs. Homeless guys grabbing me, coughing on me. And you know, I gave him my lunch. It was a good day for a homeless guy. But it's like, here I am. I went from germs touch my body to die to someone please let me stay in my house. And I had to get with the Lord and talk to him about this. You know, and I think a lot of us are like that. Like, this stuff came, and it was like, I have faith in God. And you know, you see like even a mainstream church mindset. Well, if it's my time, it's my time. If God decided I should go tomorrow and I'm going to this, I'm going to go. But like, for me, I believe the Bible says if you're not, the Lord will satisfy you with days. If you're not satisfied, keep going. You know, I don't think there's a day and a time determined, especially when you see something tragic or accidental. The Lord didn't cause that tree branch to fall on your head. You know, so let's get you healed. Let's get you raised. All right. So Luke chapter 6, same story about the foundation. And Jesus is talking, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I'm going to stop there. We're going to read more, don't worry. So who is he talking to? He's talking to people that call him Lord. So I call him Lord. You guys call him Lord. I don't know if we sang the word Lord tonight, today. We did. Yeah. But it's not like it's not like yes, dear. You know, dear is not, like when I talk to my wife, dear is not her title. Lord is actually a title. Lord is actually a thing where you're Lord of my life. You're my Lord. And that puts me in a place where I'm actually his servant and he's the Lord. So he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? So he's talking to people that call him Lord, maybe even people that are walking in that role of you be my savior and I'll be the one saved. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And when we kind of put this, you know, it was a happy Sunday school song. The rains came down and the floods came up and, you know, you clapped at certain times. When we put it into context, he's really talking about, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. So the people that come and hear the words and put them into practice. For me, this kind of turns some light bulbs on in my head. You guys know I like digest podcasts and preaching like 5-6 hours a day while I'm working. And sometimes there was application. And sometimes it was just like, oh, that was an interesting message. But here's the difference. If I want to see things work in my life, I can't just hear it. I have to do it. You know, there's a bookshelf in here with loaning books. We should talk about that at some point. If you need a book or want to borrow a book, there's books on there. And it's filling up, but I've reserved a shelf for all my books on healing. You know, healing's a big deal for me. I'm believing God to do something for my son. I've read all these books, and I've laid hands on some people, and I've seen some things happen. But I have not laid hands on everyone. So I know all the knowledge, but the doing is where you run into the issue. It's just a common thing, and it's the same thing. Many of us have been sitting in churches our whole life, and we may wonder why this problem still exists or this issue still exists, and there's probably a disconnect in the doing. We've heard what we should do. Somehow we don't bridge that gap. So Jesus says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck and the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment a torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Don't get me wrong. We need to hear. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear, but James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And he goes on to say, deceiving yourselves. If you're hearing and not doing, you're actually deceiving yourselves. We deceive ourselves when we think somehow by osmosis, being around what God is saying, his word, his promise, it's going to come forth in our life. James 1:21, the verse before, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The verse before that says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And then he goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, it's a little overwhelming. It's a big book. It is. There's a lot of pages, and there's a lot of parts that are like, what? Huh? You know? And we talked about this. You know, you set a 40,000 step per day record one step at a time, a little bit at a time. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to a mind renovation, changing the way you think, and a life transformation, changing how you do what you do. I'm going to take this one step further and talk about the parable of the sower. We're talking about this. And as a kid, I read this and I was like, Lord, I don't understand it. Please explain it to me. And I spent like a week asking the Lord to explain it to me, not realizing that further down in the chapter, Jesus explains it. You know, who didn't, who knew that? Who knew that? Everybody knew that. Yeah. So I'm like, Lord, I'm going to fast and pray and ask the Lord, like, hey, tell me about this. So this is the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. All right, rabbit trail. I can't read this verse without saying this. Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. So Jesus is in a house, right? By a lake. It's a lake house. It's probably not a shed. It's probably not a shack. I know that, you know, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I get it. But he is in the lake house. I'm just trying to give you permission to, when you build your actual house, have it be okay and nice and doesn't have to be a shed. Yeah, so Jesus, I mean, you guys know the lake house costs more. Anyway, sorry, total rabbit trail. If it offended you, wipe it from your mind. Lake house. All right, so Jesus, you guys will never forget that Jesus was in the house by the lake now. So such large crowd gathered around him. All right, back on the rabbit trail. He's at the house by the lake and they know he's there. So it's not like he was just there for lunch. It's not like he was just there for vacation. I mean, Jesus was staying at the lake house. Okay. Anyway, so he told them many parables saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, I want you to begin to think about this when I explain this, when I read Jesus' explanation of his parable. In your life, a lot of the answers that you want are supernatural and immediate. These are the answers that we want. I want to stick my hand on your head and have you healed. I want to pray and ask the Lord to pay my mortgage and have the mortgage company call me and tell me it's paid. These are the things we want, and we will see them. A lot of people come to Jesus only when they need rescued, and they want that immediate result. And we will see these things happen, but it shouldn't be the norm. Most of the time when you come to Jesus, the answer is going to be a word. And a word that you have to enforce and apply. And so we have an enemy. You guys know this. It's not a big stretch. There's an enemy. And if he can get you to not implement the word, to forget the word, to reject the word, to say, I tried it and it didn't work to the word, then he's won. And most of the attack on your life, we have people, I have people come to me because I lead worship at crazy places, and they will tell me all the things the enemy's doing in their life. I had one lady tell me he changed the electrical frequency in her house to cause her pain in her body. And I was like, did you turn it off? And let me pray for your mind. Anyway, so she's giving the enemy all this credit, but really what he's doing is just the little thing, steal away the promise. Remember in the garden, did God really say? That caused a lot of trouble. And so in our lives, keep in mind, we're receiving the word. It's changing the way we think. We step out and we do the word. Our life changes. But the enemy is trying to stop that process. It's a very basic and simple process. So let me read to you Jesus' explanation of the parable. I don't know if I told you. Thank you. Verse 18. I actually don't have it in my notes, so that was my oversight, or I would have shouted it out. Jesus said, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, no foundation. I added foundation. It's not in the Bible. But what's the foundation of a plant? Root. If a tree falls down, we blame the roots, right? Right. Okay. But since they have no root, can I say foundation? You guys good? They have no foundation. They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall quickly away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one that produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times. So I'm getting ready to close, but I want to challenge you. My challenge for you today is you want to be good dirt. It's really that simple. We want to change our mindsets and our lives so that when we hear the word, it's planted, it's protected, it's fertilized, it's watered, and it grows. We can't just say, if you order from Peace Roots Apothecary, you get some nice hand cream, and on there, you get this sheet of paper, and it says some stuff about the hand cream. If you plant that paper in the ground, flowers grow. It's pretty cool. But you can't just chuck it on the ground. All right. All right. So my challenge to you today is to be good dirt. You know, earlier this year, we had a larger church sow into helping us pay our debt. They had sown $2,000 to help us do that, which was awesome of them. And then that very next Sunday, they had a deficit in their budget that was $20,000 something and something and change for their yearly budget. And that very next Sunday, a visitor came and wrote them a check to the dollar amount, what their need was of $20,000. So they gave us two and then multiplied. They received 20,000. And so I made the comment, hey, we're good dirt. Sorry. Anyway, so keep that in mind. It's like this is how we want our lives to be. When the word of God comes, and how do you feel when someone sows into us and they see fruit? You feel good, right? I feel like, yeah, we're doing what God wants, and this is awesome. How do you think God feels when he sows into you and he sees fruit? You know, so we want to be that people. So, Father, I'm just going to pray for everybody. Father, we thank you that you're working in our lives, that we're works in progress, Lord, and that we're becoming more like you every day. Lord, we just pray that you would begin to move on the seed that's planted in us, Lord, that we would know how to steward it, protect it, and watch it grow. We want to be a field ready for your service. We want to be the house that you're building. We want to partner with you to build a church in this community. We want to see what you can do here. In Jesus' name, amen.